This is an ABC podcast.
I know that every man, woman, and child of our new nation shares this moment of pride and happiness with one heart to join in celebrating our independence.
In the early 1970s, the idea of a united Papua New Guinea seemed almost impossible to achieve. With hundreds of distinct tribes, languages, and traditions spread across some of the world's most rugged terrain, the path to independence was as complex as the country itself. But on the 16th of September in 1975, the Australian flag was lowered, and PNG's red, black, and gold flag was raised for the first time. Hello, I'm Michael Chow, and welcome to this special program, Voices to Independence, where you hear from people who were either there at the time or played a part in seeing the birth of a modern Papua New Guinea. And to start, let's hear from a man who's known as the father of PNG's constitution, Dr. John Momis. One of the country's independence leaders, he began his career as a Catholic priest before becoming a politician, and later, the president of the autonomous region of Bougainville.
I was the de facto of the Constitutional Planning Committee that drafted PNG's constitution. But ironically, I was not here for September 16th. The Constituent Assembly deleted Chapter 10 from the Constitution. And Chapter 10 was on decentralization that would have adequately addressed the Bougainville problem. Bougainvillians, they were talking about wanting to become independent. So people said, well, there's no hope for us. So the people called upon me and the member for Central Bougainville to resign and go home. So that's how I worked so hard for independence, I missed all the fun. This Constitutional Planning Committee comprised of members from both sides of Parliament, and that represented all the districts then, which the provinces were known as districts. And they were visionaries, you know, I must say. They were people who had a vision of the future. And we wanted to be independent, knowing full well that the Australians were better in management, you know, administration, so on and so forth. But we said, if we don't become independent now, we will forever be dependent. Our aim was to liberate and empower Papua New Guineans. In other words, Papua New Guineans must take the reins to promote development as they wanted it. I was a new man. I was only 30 years old, just elected, knew nothing about politics, but I was well prepared because when I was in Bougainville, the Bougainville Copper CRA was really exploiting the people, and the colonial government was collaborating with the company.
Twice the people of Rorovana village have tried to stop work by CRA. The last time on August the 5th, police used tear gas and batons to disperse villagers trying to prevent bulldozers clearing the land.
There were a lot of institutions and leaders who were quietly standing by and not doing anything. So I took a plunge into human abyss. That's how I got elected. I was a priest then. And in those days, the Bishop of Bougainville said, you can't have a priest in politics. And the people said, we want this man. I knew we had to fight for our rights, and I also understood the importance of self-determination. It's an inalienable right, you know, it's the rights of self-determination to determine your own destiny. If you allow people to enjoy the right of self-determination, then they will collaborate. If you deny them, then you're asking them to rebel.
Have the people of Rorovana village decided definitely not to sell their land?
Yes, that's the people not decided to sell their land. What did it mean to have a homegrown constitution?
Yeah, I'm glad you said homegrown, because we wanted to have a homegrown constitution. So we conducted probably the most comprehensive political engagement at that time with the people of Papua New Guinea. We went to every district, to every sub-district and every patrol post. The most popular issue discussed then was decentralization. They wanted to have their own governments in the districts and have their local governments to come under their district government, not come under the national government. So the CPC's recommendation on decentralization, I guess, was one of the most powerful and the most, what people wanted most. They wanted to be empowered. PNG was a highly diversified country, culturally, linguistically, over 800 actual languages. And unless you decentralize and give some measure of autonomy to the provinces, uniformity wouldn't work. You must allow the provinces to have the power to make decisions for the different provinces.
How do you think our cultural identity has evolved over the past 5 decades?
The people still have respect for the cultural diversity. The fifth goal of the Constitution is about Papua New Guinea ways. See, the five national goals and directive principles are quite unique. No other constitution in the world has the five national goals and directive principles. Number one, first goal, integral human development, holistic development. Not just intellectual, not just economic, not just political or religious, spiritual or, cultural. It's all these things put together. Number two goal, equality and participation. Equitable distribution of things, and participation. People must be enabled to participate in the process of government and in the process of development. Number three goal, national sovereignty and self-reliance. It's very, very important. The fourth goal, of course, is conservation and replenishment, natural resources and environment. Very, very important. Environment. We put in the Constitution before the Rio summit, when the world talked about the need to preserve and protect, environment. We were way ahead of things.
What lesson from its journey would you highlight for building unity and understanding in the nation today?
Don't deprive the people of their right to determine their destiny. If you want to maintain peace, then you have to give and take.
And central government has got this problem of trying to find out what people of Bougainville want.
Bougainville came up with a very good solution. We said, give us some measure of autonomy and allow us to participate in making our own decisions. Guy rang Somare and said, look, instead of sending the army, let's negotiate. Call a truce, let's negotiate, that's what we need. And we agreed on giving Bougainville the highest autonomy in 1976. And we said it will be given to other provinces as and when they were prepared. Because they knew some were not prepared. And if you just willy-nilly give it out, some will make a mess of it, and the national government used that as an excuse to take away power from the provinces. But one of my closest collaborator in the CPC was John Caputin. He also went to school in Australia. We were at neighboring schools, so he was a strong, he came from East New Britain, and he also demanded that the people of East New Britain must have some autonomy.
What is your hope for the country's growth?
Good leaders, they don't have to be saints, but they must have some sense of integrity. They must have integrity, and they must abide by certain moral values. Yeah. A decentralized system of government, some must have some autonomy. Bougainville has the highest autonomy. The other thing is we must promote the development of people, not resources, not country. People make the country. People benefit from the resources. So people are number one. Promote integral human development, educate our people, provide good health services. The other thing is economic empowerment. I think PNG is a great future. We have very strong cultures. In terms of natural resource, for a small place, it's quite rich, but we are making a mess of it now. I would say, be proud of what you can do and learn the ways and means of enabling you to do these things and work for a united country.
That was Dr. John Momis, one of the country's independence leaders who later went on to become president of the Autonomous Region of Bougainville. You're listening to Voices to Independence on ABC Radio Australia with me, Michael Chow, and in a midnight radio address on Papua New Guinea's first day of existence, Sir Michael Somare spoke to the new nation. This was just the beginning, he said, and that Papua New Guineans were now masters of their own destiny. One man with him on that journey was Sir Moy Ave. Sir Moy was Sir Michael Somare's advisor in the lead-up to independence before becoming a politician in his own right. Eventually, he became Deputy Prime Minister under the Grand Chief.
I've always believed, and I believe in this principle, that the sooner the people of this country are responsible for their own affairs, the better it is for them.
There was only one figure that would lead the country. That was Michael Thomas Somare. He was the leader of Pango Party. For the first time I saw him was on ABC television.
And I think we as the leaders of this country should take some initiative. We should lead, and we should lead our people.
There are three things that stuck out for me. One was his self-confidence. Two, the clarity of his message. It's time to cut the apron string in Papua New Guinea to pursue its own destiny. And I, fascinating man. Little did I know that I would join him as a member of his staff with the Arabi Namaliu and Meg Taylor. But there were four Papuan people in Pango Party. For them, Mari Kiki in particular was very clear. We were the best men for the job. Mm-hmm. And the best man was Michael Thomas Somare. They didn't see him as a civic, they didn't see him as a New Guinean, they saw him as the right man. Mm. One, because he had the fighting qualities that was required, young, energetic, charismatic. And secondly, Michael Somare's character, he had a very big heart. Mm. So he could build bridges across the region, and that's what he did. He was the leader of Pango Party, but that was not enough. He wouldn't command the numbers to form the coalition government. At that particular time, two important events, political headwinds, confronted Michael Somare, the rise of Papua Bissena. Were not for unity. They wanted a separate Papua. The Highlands, you had United Party. Mm. They were anti-independence, supported by the planters and, of course, the colonial government.
While some people are singing about national unity, others have the job of creating it. It's under this symbol that they're working to make it come true. For the past year, the government has been formed by the National Coalition, led by the Chief Minister Michael Somare. The leader of the United Party opposition is Matthias Tolleman.
The fascinating thing about why didn't the radicals at that particular time, like John Caputin, Oscar Tamuwa, the Matangan Association, the Highlands Liberation Front, Kapsawali movement and Trobin, why didn't they break away? Mm. But because Somare saw them as part of the decolonization process, they were natural forces. They were not anti-Pango Party. Yeah. they were after the same objective. The Papuans came on board, Highlands came on board. The last man to come on board was Julius Chen in PPP. Mm. And when they came in, they formed the first National Coalition Government. Yes. Yeah. And we owe to those foundation fathers where we are today.
When we gained independence, what did that feel like for you?
I was with the grassroots with Tony Waters. Tony Waters was one of the fathers of the Pango Party. Mm-hmm. I can remember even today, Tony turning around to me when the flag was going down, said, "Moi, time for me to go." And off he left the country and went to China. But Tony came back, 10 years ago, and we reminiscing about the famous handshake that we had. Mm-hmm. Time for white men to go and he had to go.
I should be able to take back many happy memories of a fascinating visit.
Very proud of the leaders of the particular time. Very proud of the groundswell of support from Papua New Guinea. Even though they didn't know much about self-government and independence, nevertheless, they had their faith in the leadership. And I was so happy that the country has achieved its objective of being independent. That's when the real hard work starts, was after independence, yeah. The second thing was obviously the homegrown constitution. And that you got to thank John Momus, John Caputin, Bernard Narokobi, who supported in writing the homegrown constitution, which made particular reference for the diverse nature of the country, you got to have a decentralized form of government.
Yeah.
Yeah. The basis of our country is in the village, and there the fabric, and then you put all the villages together, then Papua New Guinea emerges there. Mm. Without the village, there is no Papua New Guinea. Mm. One thing we need to appreciate, 97% of the land still belongs to the Kashmir land owners, yeah, not the state. And it's the people who own the land, yeah. And they could not preserve that land without all these rituals and practices they have. But since urban migration, that practice in some areas is dying down.
What was your hope and belief for the future of PNG in 1975, and has that been achieved?
Way beyond that, yeah. It's not just 50 years. We are celebrating the fact that you have Papua New Guineans whose forefathers probably did not read or write. They are now flying airplanes in Dubai. And we have PhD holders, again, whose forefathers were illiterate. That we're celebrating their achievement. Yeah, their contribution to humanity. We should be very proud of what our kingsmen have achieved throughout the world. Yeah.
If the Grand Chief was here now, what would he say to the people of Papua New Guinea about celebrating 50 years?
The job is not done yet, it's only half done. He brought us to independence, but he wanted Papua New Guinea to be economically independent.
What are your thoughts on what you would like to see for the future of our people, Papua New Guinea?
There are things throughout Papua New Guinea that need to be addressed. Despite our vast resources, you know, there are social economic indicators in many parts of Papua New Guinea are pointed in the wrong way. For us, we're going to go back to the basics.
I'm asking you.
Education, health are the two things that we cannot live without. Yeah. Nobody thought that this was possible. Everybody thought that, well, it's too early for independence. it will disintegrate into 800 different pieces. This country was condemned even before it was born. But we've defied all the critics, and Papua New Guinea is not a failed state. We still have a robust parliamentary democracy. You know, we should be very proud of that.
That was Sir Moyave, an advisor to Sir Michael Somare in the lead-up to independence, and who later went on to become Deputy Prime Minister. And he's speaking there to Maureen Orea from PNG's national broadcaster, NBC. And now, to someone who recalls the day PNG's flag was raised for the first time. For a decade, she was the only female member of the country's parliament. I'm talking about Dame Carol Kidu, Australian-born Papua New Guinean politician who is an advocate for women and social justice issues.
I remember the lowering of the Australian flag. And I remember some Papua New Guineans were crying. I didn't cry, although I was an Australian citizen at the time. But it was a very moving ceremony. I was there in the audience. I remember it as a joyous time, to be honest. I know a lot of people said it was too early, but personally, I didn't feel that. After all the predictions of doom and destruction that were going to happen to this young nation, I reflect now and I think, we were doing very well. We respected the separation of the arms of government, and we respected the idea of public service free from fear and favour. I think we had an extremely complex situation to deal with. We had coastal areas near the urban centres that had had a couple of hundred years of contact and missionisation, colonisation, learning about a new form of government for large-scale societies. But in many areas of the country, there was not that long period of learning these new ways. And so we had a country at very different stages of development.
Australia, give him peace, all get a power of government long Yupala yet. All right, then, Yupala Isavi, Yupala all get a Isavi long, what's him, number 16 day?
Here, the assistant district officer, Jeff Setchell, explains that independence for the people of Papua New Guinea is not far away.
So we had some people who had not made contact with the outside world at all. So we had a very complex set of circumstances to deal with. But it takes time. You can't build a nation of over 700 language tribal groups into one unified nation in 50 years. You can't do it. It will be an ongoing process for a long time, and I pray that we'll go through it without a revolution, without too much bloodshed. I'm eternally grateful to Sir Michael Somare for what he did for me when I was a Member of Parliament and I became part of his cabinet, for giving me that opportunity to work on policies and legislations for this nation. But he supported me to take forward the Equality and Participation Bill about getting more women into Parliament and reverse seats. He supported that completely. We have a very beautiful preamble to our constitution, which is the mama law of our nation. And I think it's very nice that it's the mama law, not the papa law. It's called the mama law of our nation. The man and the woman, the mother and the father, are both equally important. The man might be the head, but the woman is the backbone and the engine of the family. And if they work well together, the family runs well. Now, in Parliament House, that's the house of our nation. So we need both men and women in there, putting together different ways of thinking, different priorities, and I believe our nation can go forward well. When I stood for politics, I stood for the children. I stood for the children, because they are our most important resource. It's been a great privilege to live deeply in another society. We are the largest nation in the region of Oceania. We have a duty to set a very good example, and a duty to support the issues of the rest of Oceania as well, with climate change and those things. I would say, enjoy, but reflect. Reflect on where we need to change things and move forward with determination. Let's believe in our nation. Let's believe in our people. And let's try to leave no one behind. Thank you. Happy independence to everyone.
Dame Carol Kidu, former PNG politician and women and social justice issues advocate. We're coming to the end of this Voices to Independence special, and we need to hear from one more person. Legendary broadcaster Sean Dorney. Sean Dorney started out on loan to PNG's National Broadcasting Corporation, or NBC, before becoming one of the ABC's longest-serving correspondents in Papua New Guinea. He told the stories of the country's journey to and from independence.
The militants have been terrorised for more than a Guinea government.
Storm surges
can be based in Bougainville.
Finding riches.
20 years at the helm.
Sean Dorney in Rabaul.
Sean Dorney on Manus Island.
Sean Dorney, Port Moresby.
I spent three terrific years, actually, up there working for the NBC and ended up playing for the national side for 2 years. And on my last appearance, they're captaining the Kumuls, which was an extraordinary thing for someone who wasn't even a citizen of the country.
And the best thing I ever did in my entire life was meet this one here.
My wife, Pauline, I took an immediate interest in her, which for some time she did not reciprocate. But eventually, I broke her down and we ended up getting married in 1976. And we've got two kids and now three fabulous grandkids. So it's been a wonderful relationship. And Pauline's been an absolute tower of strength. As a journalist, being there in those years leading up to independence and then immediately after, that was when I was working for the NBC. I just found it to be just an absolutely, you know, bewildering but fascinating and interesting place. There was a real sense of expectation and hope. It was, you know, a very, very exciting time. And I got to travel around, you know, the country with some of the leaders. I got to know Michael Somare and Julius Chan, Yimbaki Okup. I don't think I met one of those significant Papua New Guinean leaders who I didn't like. I, you know, got to know Michael Somare really well. His political party, the Pangu Party, was relatively strong, but when you think of it in Australian terms, the Pangu Party never had more than about one quarter or one fifth of the seat. So putting together governments in Papua New Guinea requires an enormous amount of coordination and urging and talking to other leaders, and putting coalitions together is something that Somare was, you know, a master at.
It was confusing, actually. I don't know whether people really understood just what independence was about. And I think there was a lot of apprehension about the country, you know, this time.
Oh, there was a real reluctance from many of the Highlands provinces to move that rapidly to independence, because the Highlands was opened up, you know, to the outside world much, much later than the coastal areas. The most memorable was covering changes of government. But also, I suppose, you know, some of the big stories that I covered up here involved natural disasters. I got up to cover the volcanic eruption in Rabaul, which was just absolutely extraordinary.
36 hours of violent volcanic activity has left most of Rabaul covered by a thick layer of ash.
Tsunami that hit Itapi, you know, near the border with Irianjaya, was caused enormous devastation. You could see that people who had lost not only lives of their loved ones, but everything else as well, had just been swept away. It's got enormous natural resources, Papua New Guinea, and one of the greatest natural resources it's got, of course, are its people. It is just so diverse. It's just, you know, I think the most interesting place on earth.
That was legendary broadcaster Sean Dorney. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of the voices of those who helped shape a newly independent nation. Dr. John Momus, Sir Moy Ave, Dame Carol Kiru, and Sean Dorney, Voices to Independence is a co-production between PNG and Australia's public broadcasters, NBC and ABC Radio Australia. I've been Michael Chow. Thank you so much for your company. Until next time, look him.